Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Hold tight to the sound of the music of living, happy songs of the laughter of children at play. Take my hand as we run through the sweet, fragrant meadows, making memories of what was today. For we have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today. The voice that I hear is a little girl calling for a daddy to hear just what she has to say. That little boy running there by the hillside may never be quite like today. Take the blue of the skies and the green of the forest and the gold and the brown of the freshly mown hay. Take the pale shades of spring and the circus of autumn and weave you a lovely today. Come on, sing it out. For we have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never come. We have this moment today. We have this moment today. Well, so we all have a choice every day. What we're going to do? Are we going to live this day that the Lord has given us? Are we going to live in regret about stuff we can't do anything about? Or are we going to move on and live? Have you ever been with somebody that was way old before their time? I remember in our 30s, Debbie and I would hang out with some couples that they acted like grandma and grandpa, and no direction for the future, and everything's just about their doctors and all. I mean, in their 30s, it was awful. And so you gotta make a choice. Don't let the old man in. I want to live me some more. Can't leave it up to him. He's knocking on my door. I've known all of my life someday it would end. Get up and go outside. Don't let the old man in. Many moons I have lived. My body's withered and worn. Ask yourself how old you'd be if you didn't know the day you were born. try to love on your wife and stay close to your friends. Toast the sun down each night. Don't let the old man in.
Open our Bibles to Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Let's pray together before we start, shall we? Lord Jesus, you know where all of us are, all these different walks of life represented here. Would you help us? Would you help us not to stop living before we die? Help us, please. Give us your view of all of this, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, cultures are so different because the view of different people groups within a culture are viewed differently by other groups around the world. Like in America, we don't really appreciate old folks very much. We want them to kind of just go away, to go to their retirement community where they're all the same and they can do macrame and play shuffleboard and buy Keno till they die, you know, that kind of thing. Old people tour buses. If I ever am going to go on one of those, shoot me, please. I don't, you know.
Go to the casino and we're going to...
Oh, come on.
Play the nickel slots with my social security check.
I mean, is that what God intends for his people? I mean, it's sad. We're going to send them off to retirement homes, and we want them out of the workforce. We think, those who are younger think we just, these old people, you know, we've got a new way of doing things. Get out of our way. What I want to say is that it's different in America than in other cultures. I was listening to Stuart Briscoe. He's a hero of mine. Stuart and Jill Briscoe, old folks, tremendous Bible teacher, an old Englishman. He said that he and Jill went on a trip not long ago to China to work with the underground church there. And when he got there, he had just retired from his church in Milwaukee at 70 years old. And the leaders there said, "How could you desert them at that young age?" He said, "Young age? I've been doing this for 50 years." And they said, "Oh, no, you're just 75. You've got so much more to give. Why would you do that?" So he starts talking to them. And the head of the house church movement in their segment of China was in prison. He was still directing the activities of those house churches from prison. And he had just turned 90. And so Stuart says, "Well, now, how many people are represented by your house churches?" They said, conservatively, about 1 million. 90 years old, baby. Still going at it. I just love that. Instead of letting, you know, stuff get you down because you're older. I have a hearing aid. I don't wear it very much. What? No, I don't. Somebody say something? Oh, never mind. I don't wear it very much, but I had to go get my hearing test again this week. And so I was in doing it. But he goes, "Now look, you're here really good in this ear. You're losing a little bit in this ear. But in both ears, you're losing the higher frequencies. Do you have trouble hearing your wife?" I said, "Oh, yeah." Okay. I'm always hearing stuff wrong. She'll say one thing and we'll... I can't recall any right now, but we laugh a lot because she'll say one thing and I'll repeat it to her and then we just crack up. You know, those kind of things happen. Did you hear about the little old lady was driving with a group of her friends on M15 and he got pulled over by a police officer. And he said, "Ma'am, you're driving so slow. Why were you driving so slow?" She said, "Well, I saw the sign 15. And I thought that was the speed limit." And he said, no, ma'am. The speed limit's 55 miles an hour, not 15. That's the road you're on." "Oh. Well, that explains it." He says, "Well, why are your friends looking so afraid?" "We just got off 122, she said. I mean, stuff. And because of that, you know, that old person stigma here in the Western world, I'm telling you, it's not good and it's not biblical. It really isn't. We want to create senior centers, you know. And by the way, those things are wonderful and a lot of folks, you know, they get a lot of fellowship out of that and that's great. But Debbie's dad, we were encouraging him to go to the senior center after Debbie's mother died. "You know, Dad, you ought to go down. There's a lot of people who lived in Hale, a tremendous metropolis. There is so much to do there." So when she passed, we got the old guy to go to the senior center. I'm just going to tell you what he said. He goes, "Yeah, I'll walk in there and all those old girls will go, 'Ooh, fresh meat,' is what they'll say." You got to be kidding me, right? Just crack me up. So anyhow, that thing is just kind of weird. Now, you've noticed I've been doing a series. I haven't said that, but I've been doing a series these first couple of weeks of the month just about this. But, you know, when people think about retiring, you understand that's not retiring from life. That's moving into a whole new opportunity. It's not retiring from life. And we in the church, we tend to divide everybody up into their little groups. And I like a church like ours, that's why I'm here, where everybody's together. I like kids and adults and old people and everybody, in-betweens and all that. Everybody together. I like that. That's called a community. That just works really well. So the temptation is to retire from life when you retire, but that you're not called to do that. Because you've got this new opportunity and you've got incredible resources like experience. Retired people have incredible resources in life experiences, not just information. The kids are today all excited about all the information. We are in the information age. Yeah, but if you don't know how to use the information you get, that's called wisdom. Knowledge is knowing stuff. Wisdom is knowing what to do with that knowledge. And older folks know how to do that. You don't have to impress anybody anymore. You can tell them the truth. And Dad started after he retired. I told you he called me up, "Thomas, I'm retired. I love your mother, but I got to get out of this house, okay? I got to get out." He started counseling, mentoring young guys that were starting businesses. And he would look across the table and lay it out for them. He helped so many people, and some of those guys are still visiting my dad in the rest home. He doesn't remember any of them. And those guys say to me, "Oh, Tommy, but I remember him. What he did for me is amazing." You've got this experience where you can show people how it works. Talk about marriages. I mean, marriages are in peril all over the place. And talk about older couples being able to love and care for younger couples who are raising kids. I mean, you've got this experience that nobody else has. You've got time. You're not working a normal job. It's a tremendous thing to be able to have time. Younger families say to me, "You know, Pastor, we'd love to do more at the churches. We've got everything going. My wife and I are both working. We got three kids. We're at basketball, soccer, dance, karate. I mean, you go on and on and on and on. And we just don't have time." Well, for older couples, we have time. Man, that is a gift to use properly. One other thing, too. Those of us who are older have a history and remember tradition. That's a good thing. Jim, sitting right over here, knows all the history of the old First Baptist Church of Pontiac, Michigan, and what God did in Pontiac, Michigan in the olden days through Dr. Savage and all the others that were there and all the believers that have come through that place. And even though that place doesn't exist now since this megachurch took them over, and they're doing a great job and all, but it's not First Baptist Church. It's a great old place. I met some friends of mine that many of you know, Keith and Kay Flood at Riverside yesterday. I was doing a funeral, and they were just leaving a funeral. And I got to talk to those dear folks. And we talked about the old days at Sunnyvale Chapel in the olden days. Just the old day and the old people and what happened. I mean, there's this tradition. You know, the new stuff's great, man. I mean, there's a lot of happening young Christian kids that are doing great stuff, and we encourage them on. I mean, several of my friends were guys that were in the founding of the Jesus rock and roll movement, the contemporary Christian music movement. And that thing has been, that's cool. But we also have a history. And for those of us who are older, we hold that history and we hold that tradition, and we need to hold both things. Vision and memory together. And old folks, just great resources. You have so much to give. So it was G.K. Chesterton that had great wisdom, great writer. I just loved his stuff. And he had little quips he would write that were so good. And he had a bunch of young guys with new ways of wanting to do things. And they were tearing down all the old ways. And he said to them, you know, boys, you should never tear down a fence until you understand why it was built. And I think we have that kind of experience that we can speak into other people's lives. You are so valuable. Now, if you're older, you feel marginalized, put at the side, not important, not on the cutting edge. And I say, baloney, that's not true. You are just in a different calling now, in a different place. And it's so important that you understand that and walk in that. So let me give you just a couple of biblical examples of what aging looks like for believers, okay? They're going to be quick. I'm going to give them to you. First of all, in Genesis chapter 5, we're going to look at a man by the name of Enoch. You're going to love these numbers. People lived so long at the beginning of the creation. And after the fall of the creation and things decayed, those numbers went down and down and down to what we have today. But back then, it says in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Do you remember that name? He's the guy that lived 969 years. The oldest man. That's why if you're old and people are calling you Methuselah, that's why. Because of that. But his father's name is this Enoch. It says that Enoch walked with God 300 years. He had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. Do you see this picture of that? I think that is really beautiful because it says, it doesn't talk about, oh, well, then he retired from life and lived in his tent and didn't see anybody, and then he died, okay? That's not what it says. In fact, Hebrews tells us more. It tells us by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because he was taken away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. So well, you know what he did? His job in life was to walk with God. You do that at every age, especially when you're older. You walk with God. And then God takes you someday. Now that part's up to him. But up to us, he's telling us to walk with him. So many people today who are older, they'll say, Tommy, I wish I could do more. I just can't. You know, I've got all these physical problems. I had one little old lady tell me not long ago, you know, Pastor, all I can do now is just pray. Are you kidding me? That's the most important thing there is to do. Praying. Speaking to the Lord on the behalf of other people, intervening for them. You know, it was the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said that he wants all men and women everywhere to be lifting up holy hands in prayer, and they to be praying for magistrates and rulers and all people. And then he says, this is pleasing to God our Savior. All you can do is pray? Are you kidding me? What you will accomplish, only heaven knows. Ken Hafner was so wonderful at that. Dan and Judy's dad. He's just a sweet man. And taught me so much about intervening for other people in secret, talking to the Lord, walking with the Lord for them. To me, that's a beautiful thing. You know, Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven that, you know, won't rust out and nobody can steal. You know, you might be totally unable to do anything else, but if you pray, you're still sending deposits onto heaven for you. No, we can't earn our salvation. Being right with God is a gift from Jesus that he earned on a cross when he died for you. Alone, that's it. But there are rewards for God's children in heaven for what we did here. And praying, talking to the Lord for other people. Come on. Walk with God. Do this. Another one of my heroes, you haven't heard any of these people, but there's an old preacher by the name of Charles Spurgeon, an old Englishman. He was called the Prince of Preachers in the late 1800s. His sermons from the years of 18 years old to 22 amazed me. His in-depth insight, his preaching, incredible dude. So they built a church in London called the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And it's still there. Peter Masters, who I met many years ago, is still the pastor there. But when, in those days, in the 1880s, people would come for tours of the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And so there was a guy with big whiskers and stuff who met a group and took them on a tour of the tabernacle. And at the end of the tabernacle, he said, "Would you like to see the boiler room?" Now, you understand, hot water heat was a big deal in the 1880s, okay? I mean, that's like, you know, nuclear science back then. It was a big deal. So they thought, well, okay. And the old man took them down and opened the door, and there were hundreds of people on their knees praying for what was about to take place when all the people from London came to that tabernacle that day. He said, "This is where the work of God is done, right here." Hey, the tour leader was Charles Spurgeon. He walked them through that day. He never took credit for anything God did there. It was God's people praying. I'm telling you, great picture in the life of Enoch. Let me give you another picture. The Apostle Paul, turn to the little book of Philemon in the New Testament. It's just 2 pages long. A letter that Paul wrote to Philemon. So, let me tell you what's happening here. Philemon is this guy that Paul knows. Paul had led him to Christ, and he was a Christian. Philemon owned a bunch of slaves. Now listen, I know, in our day, we got all of our hackles all up about that. That was a normal part of the world then, okay? And it just was part of it. And there was this young man by the name of Onesimus, who was a slave and had run away. And here's something amazing that happened. Paul meets him when Paul is in prison. So something happened, and he probably was put in prison with Paul, and Paul met him, led him to Christ, and then finds out that he is owned by Philemon, a friend of Paul's. So Paul writes this letter, and the whole reason he writes the letter is he's trying to reconcile these two guys. And I'm going to read you one little section. I love this. Beginning at verse 8, "Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love," writing to Philemon. "I then, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains." He's writing, and I want you to say something. Paul is old. And Paul is in prison. That's called, talk about marginalized. He is on the sidelines, but he didn't quit. He didn't just keep walking like Enoch did. He kept involved in people's lives. He knew, miracle. Here's Onesimus, and he knows Philemon. Onesimus had run away. Usually what happens is they'd kill that slave. But Paul knew the right thing for that young man was to go back to Philemon. And he knew the right thing for Philemon was to forgive this slave and welcome him back into his household. And so Paul writes him to fix that problem. He was involved in it. He helped them. I'm telling you what, if you're older, you have the wisdom to deal with this kind of stuff. Relationships are falling apart everywhere, right? It's so easy for us to get our feelings hurt, cut people out of our lives, all that kind of stuff. We should be the peacemakers. We should be the ones. You can do that. You can be a Paul who in old age never quit being involved in other people's lives. I brought up Verlin earlier when I was singing to you. Something else you might not know about her. When Verlin died, I got a letter from Jackson Prison. There was a lifer there who was a murderer who Verlin had been corresponding with for years. She led him to Christ through her letters. He became a chaplain at Jackson Prison. Verlin, older. She used to say, I'm older than dirt, she used to say, you know? She used to say that, but she never stopped being involved in people's lives. She helped that guy, and he wrote a beautiful letter to be read at her memorial service when we had that. So there's, you know, keep walking, keep involved. Let me give you one more. There is an old dude in the book of Joshua I want you to look at. His name is Caleb, and he is the young man who, when the children of Israel were going to go into the promised land, he was one of 12. He and Joshua and then 10 other guys went into that land to scope it out to see about them invading that land and taking it over. They came back. 10 of them said, there's giants in the land. We can't go in there. Can't do it. Joshua and Caleb said, what are you talking about? The Lord has promised. We'll eat them up. And they wouldn't go. Joshua and Caleb are the guys. And Caleb is now later in life. He goes to see his old buddy Josh. Joshua 14. Let's start at verse 6, shall we? Look at verse 6. I just want you to absorb the attitude of this old man. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, and Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. And my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Oh, man. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord your God wholeheartedly. Now we're at verse number 10. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since that time. He's 85, man. 85. When he said this to Moses, while Israel moved out in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. Just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now, give me this hill country the Lord promised me that day. Here he is, 45 years later, and says, you know what? I still want that. God said I could have that. I want it. I'm going to take it. Holy cow. You don't hear talk like that in many rest homes. You know that? You don't hear it. You don't hear it. Here he is. He kept conquering. God's promise had not changed, so he was going to do it. What a novel thought. You might feel powerless and not as vigorous as Caleb, but I want you to know the Lord has promised you power that Caleb didn't have. Because the Bible says, for all who trust in the Lord, he has given a supernatural ability through the Holy Spirit to be able to do incredible things. For instance, Paul writes to the Ephesians chapter 1. This is verse 16. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you know the hope to which you have been called to, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. His power for you. You get that? That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Jesus was stone cold dead in a grave after his crucifixion. And the Holy Spirit of God breathed life back into his dead body, and Jesus came back to life. More than that, he then ascended to heaven 40 days later and has been seated at the right hand of God the Father. God did all of that through the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit who lives in you. I don't care what age you are. You have the power to do anything you need to do. Anything you are called to do, you have the power to do it. Christmas is just a wonderful time of year. But there are two things I hated when I was a kid at Christmas. Number one, getting clothes as a gift. Are you kidding me? Come on, I'm your child. You're supposed to clothe me. This isn't a gift. What are you talking about? I want fun stuff, right? Okay, so that was bad. But here's the other bad thing. Not just getting a gift of clothes, but to get a really cool gift, but without batteries. Oh, we forgot. Now listen, when I was a kid, everything was closed, okay? I mean, I remember the Kroger store closing at 6 o'clock every night. They stay open to 9 o'clock on Friday night, and they were closed on Sundays. Isn't that an idea? Oh, no. We've got to be open 24/7 because everybody else is. It's crazy. But anyhow, back then, if you got a present, a really cool whatever, you know what I mean? Really cool whatever thing you got, and you didn't get batteries, you weren't getting them till the next day because everything wasn't open till then. And if Saturday, if Christmas was on a Saturday, you're done for 2 days. You can't go till Monday. It'd be terrible. All you could do is carry that, you know, G.I. Joe tank around and show everybody. The lights wouldn't go on. It wouldn't go. It didn't make noise and spit that little puff of smoke out or any of that stuff. But you could tell everybody, oh, man, this is going to be great when I get you, if it only worked, right? We can do that with our faith. They've done that to Christianity. They've turned it into something without batteries. Oh, we wrap it up. We show it off. We talk about it. But it doesn't do anything. But for those who have trusted Jesus, are you kidding me? This is an incredible opportunity because we have batteries. We have the Holy Spirit who's going to give us what we need to be the power, the ability, the insight to be able to do what he's called us to do. So don't stop living. Those of you who are younger and you're listening to this thing about old people today, I want you to know something. You're going to be one of us very soon, okay? You're going to wake up one day and go, ah! Look in the mirror. Welcome. Yeah, the Reaper, he's following you around. You don't have to act like, you know, all that. Consider that, would you? There are biblical views of aging. None of them are about giving up or quitting. Get up. Go on. If you've retired recently, or if you're long retired, God has given you opportunity. Take it. Pay attention. Who needs your help around you? Who needs your insight and encouragement? Who needs you to confront them? Who needs you to help them with a project? Who needs you to sit and drink coffee and listen to their story? You got time. You got resources. Use them for Jesus. Okay? All right. God bless you. Let's all stand together to pray, shall we? Come on. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the examples that we have and the folks that have come before us. Help us, please. We ask you, Lord, that you would give us eyes to see reality and that we don't take the Western world's view of just taking our ease and just doing what we want and living a party till we die. You've told us that there are others that need us. And you've given us these great examples of Enoch and Paul and Caleb. May we live those out. Bless us. Help us today. Thanks for everybody here. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.